Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Target bests its competitors, notching a 20% jump in sales. In fact, the retailer's revenue rose more than it had in the past 11 years combined.
They're in a totally different place in terms of their strength and their ability to invest than they were before the pandemic. They were doing well before the pandemic, but they just amped that up so dramatically.
So how did Target do it? We'll have the details. And an unlikely partnership to boost COVID-19 vaccine production. Plus, how scientists are unlocking the secrets of age-old letters without breaking the seal. It's Tuesday, March 2nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. President Biden says the U.S. will have enough vaccine supply to inoculate all American adults by the end of May. That's after federal regulators over the weekend authorized a third vaccine, the one-shot dose from Johnson & Johnson, and rival Merck agreed to help produce it. Our White House reporter Sabrina Siddiqui has the details.
These conversations between J&J and Merck were ongoing about a possible partnership. But what the Biden administration is doing is stepping in and helped finalize the deal, in part by invoking the Defense Production Act. We've seen Biden and former President Trump as well invoke the DPA in order to accelerate the production of vaccines and other PPE as well. So what they're going to do through the Defense Production Act is help Merck upgrade its facilities, two of which in the United States are now going to go toward the production of the J&J vaccine.
President Biden is also urging states to prioritize educators, school staff, and childcare workers for vaccinations, calling on them to provide at least one shot to those workers by the end of March. Biden said workers will be able to use the federal pharmacy program to sign up. The Biden administration is sanctioning Russian officials and entities over the poisoning of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Navalny was sentenced last month to 2.5 years in prison, leading to widespread protests. Russia vowed to respond in kind to the new sanctions from the U.S. The Biden administration is also considering additional measures against Moscow in response to the SolarWinds hack and for Russia's offer to pay bounties to Taliban fighters for attacks on U.S. troops in Afghanistan. FBI Director Christopher Wray is defending the Bureau's handling of the January 6th Capitol riot amid criticism from both sides of the aisle that the FBI should have done more to preempt the violence. In testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today, Wray also said the event has inspired more extremism and stressed the urgency in confronting it.
The problem of domestic terrorism has been metastasizing across the country for a long time now, and it's not going away anytime soon. At the FBI, we've been sounding the alarm on it for a number of years now.
Around 300 people have been charged with federal crimes in connection with the riot, including trespassing, conspiracy, and assault. Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo has been confirmed as Commerce Secretary in a Senate vote of 84-15. But her stance on China has drawn ire from some Republicans. At her January confirmation hearing, Raimondo pledged a tough line against Chinese trade and technology threats, but stopped short of saying she would maintain the Trump administration's blacklisting of Chinese telecom giant Huawei. And Vernon Jordan, a civil rights leader and advisor to presidents, politicians, and business leaders, has died at the age of 85. Jordan organized voter registration drives as a young lawyer and led the National Urban League in the 1970s. He also chaired President Clinton's transition team after the 1992 election. Coming up after the break, how Target pulled ahead of its retail rivals.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. Oracle.com/Wall Street.
Even among retailers who did well during the pandemic, Target is in a class of its own. The big box store saw a 20% increase in revenue last year, more than in its past 11 years combined. For the full year, revenue reached $93.6 billion. The company estimates that $9 billion worth of those sales came from its competitors. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Nassauer. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, Target has been one of the big retail winners during the pandemic. How did these results compare to key rivals like Walmart, which has also been doing well?
There's lots of other retailers that have also done quite well. The big box retailers like Walmart, the home improvement retailers like Home Depot, Lowe's, have seen their sales go up. Target's growth, though, has been outsized in comparison to many others. And that's, you know, a combination of things. It's they happen to sell things that, you know, people are buying over the last year, a lot of food, a lot of basics, a lot of home, you know, office equipment, home goods. We're all sprucing up their homes. They tend to do well in lots of those categories, and they're taking market share, they say, across all of their categories. But they also, before the pandemic even kicked off, they had already invested a lot of time and money in using their stores as fulfillment hubs for online orders so that you could pick up orders from the parking lot, for example, or come inside and pick it up, or get a delivery at home. And those services, especially the sort of same day pickup in the parking lot or get it delivered version of those services, the sales through those services just skyrocketed over the last year. And they were ready. They were ready to take advantage of that.
And Target stores also stayed open during much of the pandemic, right?
Correct. Correct. Exactly. They were a part of the group of retailers that were deemed essential, you know, back in the beginning, a year ago. And so they never closed. So they didn't. Some retailers we've seen done pretty well, like Best Buy, they were closed at first and you saw a dip in their sales and then they reopened and then sales took off as people were buying, you know, home electronics and they adjusted their model to meet that demand. But Target's been open the whole time.
As you alluded to, the pandemic has really created a mixed picture among retailers in terms of who has done really well and who's fallen behind. And it seems like a big part of what enabled the retailers who did well to succeed was really being able to pivot very quickly to focus on e-commerce.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the retailers that were already far along on investing in e-commerce capabilities did much better because they could ramp up when people didn't want to come into the store. People wanted to have more things delivered at home. You know, you definitely see that result at Target.
We've seen a few companies now declining to give full year guidance, and Target is among them. What does that signal, this reluctance to provide more detailed projections?
It's very interesting to me because it signals, you know, with the way they describe it is that they just don't know. It's such an uncertain time. There's so many variables. They don't know. They don't want to give guidance. You know, we've seen some companies give a little bit more information in recent weeks than they had over the past few quarters, but Target is not one of those. They said they're not giving guidance and they're sticking with that. And so we'll have to wait and see, you know, if and when it comes back.
To that point, what are you hearing from experts about whether the buying trends we've seen during the pandemic will have staying power or last beyond this crisis?
Yeah, we're starting to hear, I think, more decisive comments from retail executives on that front. My sense is a lot of executives are saying things like, well, some more normalized buying behavior is going to return in the second half of this year. You know, we're going to maybe start traveling a little more. It depends on the vaccine rollout. And if that happens, people might want to buy more clothes that they wear outside the home or luggage that they use to travel. But there's certain other things that I think a lot of retailers are planning on sticking around, like the switch to e-commerce. Maybe it won't be at these levels, but it will be elevated, you know, based on where it was before the pandemic, and just sensitivity around germs and this feeling that you do want to feel safe in public spaces. So that was something that you heard Target talk a lot about on their call.
Today was also Target Investor Day. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, what they talked about is something that we have heard from other retailers in recent weeks that reported earnings and did well in the pandemic, which is they're taking all that money and they're investing it. So, you know, you talked about sort of this picture of haves and haves not in the retail landscape. That's likely going to grow more. You know, there's going to be more of a disparity because the retailers that did well through the pandemic now have a ton of cash and they're investing it in, just like Target, in supply chain, adding more stores in some cases, remodeling stores, technology, giving workers higher wages so they can hire more effectively. And then you're going to see the retailers that didn't do well really have to scrimp and save and look at their cash positions.
Sarah, any other final thoughts on Target's performance?
I mean, to me, I think the most interesting part is just to see how you can sort of really look at the full year at Target now and see that they grew massively. You know, they literally became a larger company. They're in a totally different place in terms of their strength and their ability to invest than they were before the pandemic. They were doing well before the pandemic, but they just amped that up so dramatically. So I'm very curious how this kind of all shakes out in the next few years for the retail industry.
Wall Street Journal retail reporter Sarah Nassauer. Sarah, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, do you remember back in school before there was texting? Kids used to fold notes into these small origami shapes so no one could read their secrets. Little did we know that they were part of an age-old tradition called letter locking. It was a method used to keep mailed messages private before there were envelopes. Scientists have wanted to understand the intricacies of this folding art for a long time and read what was inside, but they've been worried about destroying the fragile letters in the process. Now, a group of international researchers have developed a way to read locked letters without opening them. Our reporter Sarah Castellanos has more.
The technology involves an X-ray scanner that was originally developed for dental research, as well as a bunch of computer algorithms that can identify different parts and regions of the folded letter itself without actually opening it. And then a physics simulation, something that animators typically use to animate the way that clothes are flowing on animated characters in order to simulate how the letter would unfold and refold if it were to be folded and refolded in the real world.
Sarah says the letters are interesting because they're a trove of mail from everyday people. The first one read from the 17th century was a request for a death certificate. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.